Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. Last week, we did a teaching designed to introduce the God School over a shortwave radio station. And I thought it appropriate to use the 17th chapter of John as an introduction as to why the God School. This stayed with me all week, and today I want to attempt to take a deeper look into this 17th chapter of John, which is truly the Lord, that is, truly Jesus's prayer. We mistakenly call that passage of Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "When ye pray, pray like this." We call it the Our Father. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never prayed that prayer, because included in that prayer is, "Forgive us our debts or trespasses or sins." Jesus never sinned. So I want today, hopefully we'll get through it today. If not, there'll be more, to take a closer look at not only the words of this prayer, but the one who prayed it. And the chapter opens and it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." The word is doxon. It's a derivative of the word doxa. We have in traditional churches the doxology. The word means to give weight to. As something substantial. He goes on and says, "As you have given me power over all flesh." Listen to this. As you, he's talking to his Father, and he says, "As you have given me all power," or given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. You know, these are the words of Jesus Christ. We have another prayer found in the other Gospels of Jesus praying in the garden before his crucifixion, wherein he says, "You know, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done." There was the human nature of Jesus Christ. He knew what was coming. He would rather have what was coming not come. But human nature, who nonetheless knew God and submitted to the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Here, listen to this guy, if you will. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's talking about something a lot more than what is natural. He's talking like somebody supernatural. Not just born of the flesh, but of the very Spirit of God Himself. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That word sent is apostolos. Same word we get the word apostle from. Sent one. I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You're going to notice in this prayer there's a lot of giving going on here. And hopefully to those to whom God has given ear, there's going to be some receiving as well. The Greek would translate it this way, having finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's not a natural man speaking. Yes, Jesus Christ was fully man, but at the same time, paradoxically, he was fully God. He's talking about a relationship with the Father before the worlds were. Hebrews tells us that Hebrews 1 tells us that he, Jesus, was the creative agent of everything. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. It doesn't say unto men, it says unto the men, and women, please understand, you're not excluded. Which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them me. I'm trying to leave out the thous and the thines and the gavests. So if I mess up, bear with me. Thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of you. Father implied. Jesus goes on to say, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me. And they have received them. And have known surely that I am come out from you. And they have believed that you did send me. This word translated believed in this eighth verse is epistousin. It is a derivative of pisteo. It's more than belief. Pisteo. In the Greek, take the religious out of it. Jesus reached into that language that dominated the world at the time he took upon himself flesh and blood and became kin with us. Greek dominated the language of the world. He reached in and pulled that word pisteo out and made it his. And the definition is simple. It's an action. It's based on a belief, based on an assent of the mind. And it is confidence, full assurance of the heart, an action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. Not just, oh, I believe. Listen to this ninth verse. I pray for them. Who? The ones who have received the words that God gave, God the Father gave to Jesus, that he gave to the ones who received. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Think about that for a minute. Pray, I pray for them, the ones who've received his word, the ones who have kept his word, and that has nothing to do with performing perfectly. It has to do with guarding, if you will. Tereos, I believe, is the way you pronounce the Greek word. We're going to encounter it several times as we continue in this. It's, you know, not only receiving the word, but grabbing hold of it and trusting it more than what they or we encounter in this world. I pray not for them, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours. That wonderful passage in Ephesians, the first chapter, the fourth verse, which says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, this gives us, or Paul gives us, some insight into this ninth verse, because wherein it says, he has chosen. The word is exelexitos. And if it is exegeted properly, this is what it means. In times past, a done deal, God reached in and chose out from among those he did not choose out, and he chose them, he chose us out for himself. You want to know why we're being saved? And it's a daily activity, because God is doing it for himself. I pray for them. For them which thou hast given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. This word also in the Greek is in the middle voice. Jesus gets glory from this relationship, from ones who have received his words and have faithed in him, or put their trust in him and his words, and who keep them, who hold them close. That is the word. I am glorified in them. Middle voice. Jesus gets the glory. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. You know, Jesus is certainly talking about there is a deeper, a future relationship that He, Jesus, and God, our Father, and us are going to have. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's talking about Judas. We don't need to. That's talking about Judas. And now come I to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He speaks these words in the world that we might have joy, that we might have His joy fulfilled in us. I'm eternally grateful to Dr. Gene Scott, who let me understand about joy. Joy comes with understanding. Happiness, well, that's a feeling. It can come and it can go. But joy comes with understanding. And once we understand, that understanding cannot be taken away. I have given them your word. And the world hated them because they, that is the ones whom Jesus has given His word, or God's word, because they are not of this world. The promise is we're going to be one with God and Jesus. It's not singular, folks. It's one, like one army. It's one with parts. But it is one. I have given them thy word. And the world hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We might be in the world, but not of the world. Let's read on. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. The evil one. That thou keep them, guard them. I remember once Gene expanded on this word, and he even used the word to garrison. That wonderful phrase in Psalm 3 that says, thou are a shield about me. God doesn't say he's going to keep you from trouble. Look in the 16th chapter, the last verse, 33 of this same Gospel of John. It says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now, in this 17th verse, we encounter this word truth, translation of the Greek, aletheia. It could just as easily be translated this way, sanctify them through thy reality. Thy word is reality. Jesus said in this same gospel, 8th chapter, I believe it's the 32nd verse, ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the reality, and the reality shall set you free. Throughout this whole book of God, which we call the Bible, God's talking about other things that we see not. And he calls that revelation, he calls that revelation by his word truth. He calls it reality. There is, children of God, more to life than what we see. We're about running down the half hour. And we'll come back to this passage next time. I pray that through these words and through other teachings from the God School, from this book of God, that your understanding is being enlightened, and that through that understanding of the magnificent will of God for you, that the joy of Jesus, who is God, of whom it is said he sees the end from the beginning, that this reality will fulfill your joy, and that's the God School for today.